When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Two more hours to go on this Friday up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A huge weekend in sports ahead. Round two in the NBA playoffs will start this weekend. We have two series that are already set. We will preview both of them. We already did between the Knicks and the Pacers. Now it's the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. But not just NBA playoff action, Stanley Cup postseason action around Major League Baseball. And let's start to call the horses to my old Kentucky home. It's the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. The Run for the Roses, the first Saturday in May. Our guy, Dubsy Anderson, back on the Spiz Grizz later in this second hour to get you set for Derby Talk this weekend at Churchill Downs. It's a ceremonious weekend, DRS.
Yes, it is, certainly is. And, you know, the Triple Crown starts up here. We'll see who wins that Kentucky Derby. But also, can I make a programming point here on the Kentucky Derby? And would it fit better if the Kentucky Derby race was race number one at Churchill Downs? We have to waste our time with those other meaningless races all throughout the day.
Completely
Let's
agree.
Get to the good stuff right away and just get out of town and go along with your afternoon here. Why not?
Listen, sometimes I kind of laugh at what you have to say in terms of sports scheduling and timing of everything. Completely agree. Mm-hmm. We don't need a 7 p.m. Eastern time post.
No.
Get them there early. Have our mint juleps early. And let's cash some tickets early for the Run for the Roses. The Kentucky Oaks, I think, are today. Dubsy will have some thoughts on all of them. So, DRS, as we set the stage for this weekend, big weekend around the NBA. Again, round number two will start. That includes in Denver at altitude, second round series, Western Conference semifinals between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. We expect this set to be highly competitive. At least we do. The odds makers see it slightly differently. Denver greater than a $2 favorite on that series outright price, -205. For Denver to win in six, which would actually be in Minneapolis, is the shortest number at 2-1. How tightly contested do you expect this second round series between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves to be?
I do. I expect it to be really contested. And also keep in mind, like you saw round number one, it wasn't as if the, you know, Nuggets were in a 4-0 sweep against the Los Angeles Lakers. If you closed your eyes and just watched those games and said to yourself, okay, let me just listen in to see the ebbs and the flows here. Oh, look at that. The Lakers might be taking this to seven because they were really competitive in each and every one of those games, it felt like, for the most part. So now you flip it over to the Timberwolves, who have that same feel for me, Ben, as last year's Denver Nuggets. Yeah, good regular season, got some superstar players, but once again, the playoffs, that type of team isn't just going to hold up, and they easily dispatched of the Phoenix Suns. So for my money here, look, I'm going to go out on a limb again. I loved Minnesota in round number one. Why not take that price? If you think they can win the series plus 164, that's really good. Yes, it's going to be hard, but I do think that we are headed for a seven-game series regardless. You take that plus 1.5 for Minnesota and only pay the juice of minus 128. I think there's a legitimate chance that they can win the series outright, Minnesota. Why not just put that extra game and a half in your pocket? It's going to be fun to watch it play out because this is not going to be one of those where we line up game number one. It's like, oh, look at that. Denver 121, Minnesota 88, and away we go. This is going to be a great series to watch, and Minnesota is going to be all the way through to game seven.
To Donnie's point, all five games against the Lakers, L.A. had a lead at the break against the Denver Nuggets. Now, I expect the Nuggets to be in the NBA Finals. I expect the Denver Nuggets to win this series outright over Minnesota. But I do not think it will be in five games or six. I think we could get to seven, as Donnie is mentioning. Mm-hmm. However, from the odds perspective, just follow what the odds are saying. Six games is most likely at 2-1. Second shortest number, only by 10 cents, but it's five games. Again, at altitude, Denver has the advantage, home floor advantage in this second round series. Second shortest price at plus 220. Denver to win this series on the series spread at a game and a half is plus 104. I think that's the best value if you believe in backing the Denver Nuggets. But I also think, Donnie, as we look at game number one, tomorrow night in the Mile High City, Denver a 4.5-point home favorite. Over-under is at 208. Listen, I just trust the championship muster of this Denver team. I expect them to win outright in game number one, even if it is competitive, even if that 4.5-point number does come into play. And in that moment, I would look to Minnesota game number two with maybe some more value if you want to get in on the Timberwolves, because we know that based on each and every individual result, the series prices, the series odds are going to alter drastically.
Yeah, in the biggest games, you're always going to trust the Denver Nuggets because you always get a great performance, it feels like, out of Jamal Murray and also Nikola Jokic. And also, they're very well coached and they have an unbelievable home court advantage, which they are going to have here in game number one. But if you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, they open this line at 5, and now it's down to 4.5, and I agree with that number. You're going to get a great punch here, and that's a lot of respect for a game to be under 5 points here between these two teams when the home team is going to be the Denver Nuggets. But what are the expectations, right? When I look at that, I say you get a lot of excitement here for the Timberwolves getting less than 5 points because I legitimately think they can win this game. But I actually don't think they win the game when it's all said and done. These are the moments where the Denver Nuggets always tell you that here we are. Let's make sure we get game number one, because even if they blow game number two, you know who's probably going to win game number three? It's the Nuggets again. So then let's just say that series goes 2-2 and we go back to Denver. You know who's winning game number five? It's Denver, because that's a big spot. It's where they perform.
Yep.
Let's just say they lose game six. Game seven, same exact thought process. When I expect this series always to be commanding here for the Denver Nuggets with a chance for the Timberwolves to win it. But when it's all said and done, if we are at a series even game, 1-1, 2-2, heading in 3-3, which would mean game seven here, you're always going to trust the Nuggets here in that situation to sort of pull ahead here. And that's the vibes I get. Equally contested all the way through, close games, but in game number one, even if I do like the Timberwolves and say I think they win the series, it's not as if I think they're going to win game number one. I think they probably have a better shot to win game number two than one. So I do think that 4.5-point spread here, even though, again, I like the Timberwolves in this series to be very competitive, I think the Nuggets are able to handle their business game one.
So these two teams in the same division in the Northwest, in the Western Conference, divisions don't really matter nearly as much in the NBA as they do in other professional sports. But I bring that up because these two teams have faced each other four times this year, and not just four times all year long with the first few in the opening half of the season. They played each other three times in the final month of this NBA regular season. They are very, very familiar with one another. They split the season series, Minnesota 1-2, Denver winning 2, but the Nuggets favored in 3 of 4, just 1-3 against the spread. In all four wins for the Nuggets in that opening round series against the Lakers, all four victories, the total stayed under. but the lowest total was in game number five. That was 217. 208 is the number for game number one tomorrow night in Denver. Minnesota, of course, has had some time to get ready for this series. They swept the Phoenix Suns. They won those final two games outright as a dog on the road in the Valley. Over in three of those four wins, Minnesota scoring at least 120 in three of those four against Phoenix. I kind of think we see enough points to go over 208 tomorrow night in game number one.
Yeah, I'll go against you on this one just to have some fun. Okay. I think we get some of those, let's feel each other out here. It's a playoff atmosphere. It's in elevation here. You want to have the Minnesota Timberwolves out here establish that defensive presence here. And also, we know that if you take a look from the Nuggets' perspective for themselves, they're not really a team that likes to run and gun, get in that half-court game and execute here. I'll go under, you go over. We'll see who's the better man by the end it winds up here on Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Monday, to say the least. Fading me off the jump, that's an ugly scene. Denver 4.5-point favorite for that game. The Nuggets did not cover often in the series against the Lakers because they were down at the break, but the spread is relatively short. We have our sports professor with us next, Rick Horro. Your guess is good as ours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on SportsGrid. What better way for you to start off your weekend than to see the face and hear the voice of our sports professor, Rick Horro, who joins us here on this Friday. Rick, how you doing? Tell the people where you're traveling to this weekend, why you got to be here bright and early on a Friday.
Yeah, so good morning, wrong side, and good morning, Davis. Oh, wait, no, it's not Davis.
Whoa, I thought
it was Davis. We're back to the A-team. Congratulations. I assume your trip was productive. I shed a tear because I missed you for a couple of weeks, but you're not Wally Pipp. You're back in the chair. For me, too. I'm going to Orlando because that game, I don't know what you talked about. I missed it, but that should be a barn burner. The Magic up against it for the first time in a long time. It's usually ambivalence up there. Nobody really cares. But, you know, the one-point loss meant that they have a chance of taking this one and then taking Game 7. This is the best 4-5 series of all of them, I think, because the other ones weren't as close. And this one could be a big game, and it'll be kind of really fun to see it. And I am a Paolo Banchero fan, being a Duke guy. And I love the way the Magic have become Duke South. Carter and Banchero and all of those guys. You didn't ask me, but that's the deal. And then I'm going straight from there to Tampa to go see the Lightning. But I'm afraid I've got to wait until November to see a Lightning game.
Tell me you wrote the foreword in Coach K's autobiography without telling me. We get it. Chill out with all the Blue Devils love here on this Friday on the Early Line. Rick, let's talk the NBA playoff bracket overall. Opening round series, some of them have already come to a close. We've got a couple of second round sets already determined as well. What do you think the interest level and the excitement has been around the NBA playoffs to start?
Well, first of all, interest level's been interesting because you have the typical teams in there. The Knicks resurgence, a big deal. The Lakers resurgence, a big deal until last week. The new faces, you know, I love the idea of a Timberwolves as the kind of quote unquote upstart, regardless of who their ownership is. They're playing well on the court. And the Nuggets, do they defend? They look like the best team in the NBA, and that's something you wouldn't have said a few years ago. So I think the storylines dictate ongoing interest in the NBA, and it's important, especially given their new world of potentially the old guard into Amazon / other entities.
Oh!
Yeah, let's take a look at those other entities here. NBC preparing a bid for NBA rights worth $2.5 billion annually in an attempt to squeeze out Turner Sports. What are we looking at for the next wave of talent that's going to be shown on different networks here, Rick?
Well, the interesting thing about that is, I don't know if you guys remember, I do, but I'm dating myself again. You remember the old Inside the NFL with my friend Nick Bonacani and Len Dawson and all of those folks? And there was a time when those guys transcended that brand. Then it became the brand, and then it moved around, and the hosts were interchangeable. I think it's the same kind of thing this time, except the difference is, you know, how do you watch an Inside the NBA in a new entity if they go somewhere else without Ernie Johnson and certainly without Barkley and without Shaq? Mm-hmm. That becomes the show. Now, I think they have in their respective contracts that they can move around depending on the rights. I would assume that's true. That's what the top agencies do relative to these superstar talents. So who knows what's going to happen with the ongoing talent. I think if NBC does this, I think it's a great opportunity for them to cultivate and develop some fresh faces in addition to moving some old reliables in.
So based on reports, Charles Barkley, Chuck, does have a clause in his contract that if the NBA rights were to leave Turner, he can go elsewhere as well. Ernie Johnson, not the same. Best shows on sports television, number one, Inside the NBA, followed by a close number two, this one here, the early line, especially when it features Rick Hora. Rick, my final NBA playoff question to you is this. Who watches more of the game tonight in Orlando? You live in person or Donnie Wrightside on TV?
I think Donnie will invite his friends, and I'll invite my friends, so then it becomes a number of who has the more friends, and I do just because of my personality.
I don't have any.
That's why. I mean, Donnie, you can say that yourself, but you are a magnetic personality. You're just a fairly immature and cultivating in the business. So 10, 20, 30 years from now, like me, you're going to have a lot of friends too. Don't lament. All right. I'll be your friend. You want me to be your friend? I'll be your friend.
I like that. By the way, let's get it over to the Kentucky Derby here because we don't have too much time here. I need to know where we're going, who we're betting on, and also the pomp and circumstance and why the ratings are good for the Kentucky Derby outside of the race itself, because we just love to watch the rich people celebrate and have fun down there.
Yeah, we best 2.5 minutes in television. Maybe the best 2.5 minutes in life, but we don't have to get into that. It's the only thing where those 2.5 minutes can drive the ratings. And by the way, you have 200,000 people. It becomes a buildup. Let's remember, you know, the Super Bowl television network lead up has now become 6.5 hours. But the game itself is 4. This is a 4-hour lead up. And the event, as we just said a few times and killed it, is 2.5 minutes. The bottom line is this race and the Preakness after it are the two that everybody cares about, because then becomes an opportunity to decide whether there's a Triple Crown or not. And Churchill Downs with $181 million renovation. Horse racing still alive and well, even though, as we know, a lot of the activity moved to mobile.
I've got some very disturbing images in my head, like some of the horses, sadly, with some performance enhancers. That's how you get 2.5 minutes. Rick, he asked you for a pick as well, though. So in the final 50 seconds of this segment, who do you like? Is it the favorite Fierceness at a 5-2 number? Sierra Leone, the second best number out of post number 2, 3-1. Give us a pick for the 150th Kentucky Derby.
I like Fierceness because that's my mantra in living my life. It would have been run over, step, and pivot against the lowlifes, but that's too long for the name of a horse. You can't get it on the side of that. Sierra Leone, I will never bet on a horse that's named after a country, especially an impoverished one where the poverty rate is higher than the literacy rate. And so that becomes something that's really important.
That's
so
on me.
Put it on Fierceness. There it is. I'm telling you, that's my answer. And if you really want to know, come back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
live right here on the Early Line on this Friday on Sports Grid. Still recovering from the images in my head following our sports professor, Rick Hora. So let's change the conversation entirely. The Collegiate Capsule here on TEL. We shared this news to start a 2-year contract extension for Kirby Smart. The Georgia Bulldogs entered last year looking for 3 straight national championships despite only losing 1 game. It just so happened it was in the SEC championship. But because of all the success that has happened in Athens over the past 3 years, Kirby Smart extended once again. A 2-year contract extension that now runs through 2033, nearly a decade away, that will pay Kirby Smart about $13 million per year. He is expected to stay at Georgia for a very long time.
Yes, he is. But this is what I was like. The hardest jobs to probably get are college football coaches. The reason I say that is you don't just make a ton of money right away, Ben. Like, we know the steps that you have to go through. A graduate assistant, an assistant, maybe a video coordinator making $25,000 a year, $30,000 a year, maybe just an intern making no money at all. So to get to the pinnacle of your career like Kirby Smart has, these guys actually hold that sledgehammer. Like, what actually went on? Did Kirby Smart's agent go, you know what? They're negative recruiting around here. That Kirby Smart won't be hanging around to at least 2030 at Georgia. Let's make sure we tack an extra 2 years on. And also keep in mind, these aren't contracts that are inflated where it's like, oh, you know, we could fire them next year without cause and not pay them. These are fully guaranteed contracts. So next year, if Georgia goes 0-12, which we know they're not going to, but just play along, and he gets fired, he's paid all of that money right through to 2033. If you can get these jobs and hold on and have success, the printing that you are going to get of money is astronomical.
For sure.
Because everybody, Alabama would love to have Kirby Smart. There are so many teams that would love to have him, so I understand it, but was there really a need for this at this point to say, you know what, we got to keep him here to 2033?
He gets $1.5 million per year raise to get to that $13 million on an annual average. That makes him the highest paid coach at the FBS level in college football, moving past Dabo Sweeney. Kirby was already making 10.7. Sweeney's making 11.5 mil. They need to start seeing more return on investment in Clemson, South Carolina this year. Kirby's not smart. Now the highest paid coach in all of college football. 3 coaches make more than 10 million. That's Ryan Day at Ohio State, Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, Kirby Smart now at Georgia. Maybe because of Nick Saban retiring, but that was way back in early January. Would you see the bump in pay raise as Kirby Smart might have been floated for the opening in Tuscaloosa? But that was a long, long time ago. Donnie, we hit a huge point in the college football offseason calendar yesterday. It was really the off-season equinox, as it is known. Yesterday was the day where we are closer to the start of the 2024 college football season than we are to the end of 2023. Now only 113 days away from the start. The end of 2023 was now 116 days ago. And with the highest paid coach in college football, Georgia, the national championship favorites at 3-1. Ohio State, who has the best win total in all of college football, both teams at 10.5, but Ohio State more juice on the over, second best price at +450. Again, we shared yesterday, the Buckeyes saw the Wolverines of Michigan win it a year ago and said never again. Ohio State is fully in this year in Columbus.
And by the way, the same way we talk about Major League Baseball, and let's just say the Houston Astros, the reason I'm bringing them up is they don't have a great record right now. But at the end of the regular season, you have chances, if you don't win the division, to actually get those wild cards. The reason I'm bringing that up is you see Georgia +300. What has always been the MO when you see Alabama at 1,300? Man, they got to go through the SEC here. They get 1 or 2 losses. They're not playing for a national championship, even if they're better than some other teams in there. You can now make it into the playoffs with multiple losses and be comfortable here. So now you're taking a look at Georgia going like, yeah, they're going to have a gauntlet, but as long as they finish with two losses or less and maybe not even make the SEC championship game, they can still make the college football playoff. So it opens up that bigger avenue for some of these favorites you want to take, where you don't say like, oh no, Georgia's got to go play Alabama midway through October. That's going to decide it. No, it doesn't anymore. You can still win a national championship and not even win your conference here. And quite frankly, that's going to be probably more than not in the years come here. I like this. I like the way it looks now. I do.
It's a great, great point. By the way, we said the end of the transfer portal happened on Wednesday night. Kansas enters next year, at least at this moment, as the favorite to win the national title in front of UConn. Derby discussions with Doug next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Derby discussions with Dubs. Our guy, Dubsy Anderson, returns to the Spiz Grizz Network to get you set for the 2024 Kentucky Derby. He is live in Los Angeles doing great work right now for FanDuel TV. Of course, our partners were on FanDuel. All the great stuff with Dubs Anderson making his return. And we get set for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, the first Saturday in May tomorrow. Dubs, we sincerely appreciate you waking up bright and early, but I know race weekend at Churchill Downs starts on this Friday, so you had to be up and at him. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, great to see you, gentlemen. Shout out to the whole team there at the Sports Grid. Missing everyone behind the scenes there. But look, this is as good as it gets for a sports fan on the wagering side of things. The 150th running of the Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday afternoon. I feel like we don't have as much drama as we had last year. We certainly have a couple of young superstars amongst the three-year-old division. But hey, there's a lot of unknowns. And as we've seen the last 5 years, a couple of big prices can come through because all these horses are still trying to find that top gear. You look at their resumes, and there's not a lot to draw from. So I think we could see a couple of numbers coming up.
Dubsy, I'm sure there's plenty of folks that watch the early line and pay attention to the Sports Grid Network or FanDuel TV that know all about horse racing and how to correctly wager on it. But maybe for some of the amateurs like myself, we'll go piece by piece here. We'll get your best process on how to bet the Derby, and then we'll talk the actual horses, format of the race, and those favorites like Fierceness and Sierra Leone. So let's start with explaining how to bet the Derby, the exotic wagers that people know, like the exactas and the trifectas. What is your process for when it comes to getting down wagers on the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, I guess it's like any other sport. We look at the past performance, the situational trends of coming into today's race, and then conditions. What are we actually getting into? The distance, the Kentucky Derby, they'll be going a mile and a quarter. It's distance runners have never been, so that's a bit of a question mark with that stretch out. You look at the surface, not every horse does well out there on the dirt. So then you draw on the pedigree ratings. You can look at speed figures like we look at player ratings or ERAs for your starting pitches when we try and stack up a lot of these horses exiting different races coming into a big one such as this. And obviously what changes coming in, is this a trainer who's done really well in this situation in the past? Maybe this horse needs a start or two to fire up with a big performance. We look towards the human connections, the jockeys. Obviously, the more experienced, the better going in to the Oaks on the Friday here this afternoon, the Derby tomorrow, because again, younger horses doing something for the first time out there at Churchill Downs underneath the Twin Spires, where there's likely going to be in excess of 100,000 people on side. So experience matters, but don't get it twisted. Every horse going in to the starting gate at Churchill Downs has a chance to win, and they're going to give it their best performance.
Dubs, quick question also, because again, I love the fact that we get somebody on who can actually explain the process going through. We talk about Major League Baseball, the NFL. We know how those teams actually get to the playoffs through wins and losses. How do you actually qualify for the Kentucky Derby?
There's now a qualifying series, the road to the Kentucky Derby. We've got to pick up enough points to make it in to the top 20. We've got a couple of reserves that can also draw in. We saw this week Encino was a scratch for Brad Cox, so the also eligible makes it into the field. But it's now turned into the international game. We've got a couple of internationals. The Japanese runners have made their way by winning their qualifying races and picking up enough points to now make it across to Churchill Downs. So get enough points, shape up, pay that entry fee, and have your chance at a $5 million prize purse, as big as it's ever been, Donnie.
The Run for the Roses, the first race in the Triple Crown this summer, and the largest race of the three that we see in the Triple Crown. 20 horses in the field as of this moment, Dubsy. How does the size, the amount of horses in the Kentucky Derby field affect how the races run tomorrow at Churchill Downs?
You've got to get a lot of racing luck. You know, for a lot of these horses, they're exiting races where there was 9, 10, 12 runners going against, you know, 9 a horse, something they just haven't done. I mentioned the noise and the atmosphere out on course. It's something that they've never experienced. We look at post position, the draw. It really depends on the run style, where you draw, if it suits or if it's a bit of a negative impact. I mean, the big buzz coming in for this week was the starting position, 17 there. Fierceness, one of the favorites coming into the race, drew 17, 0 for 44 lifetime. But since Encino Scratch, the 17 Fierceness now shifts across and will start from post position 16, but will still wear saddlecloth 17. So Fierceness just gets to sidestep that, I guess, that trend that we've seen over time there, and does have that early speed as well.
If we're taking a look at the Kentucky Derby, we'll get into some of the long shots and the best picks here, but I figure, like, it almost feels like the Super Bowl now, because it used to be in the past, you might get a couple races from the Kentucky Derby on TV, but now it seems like an all-day atmosphere and superstar after superstar after superstar showing up with a red carpet here. Talk about the day for you, and also, you as betting the races, do you enjoy the pomp and circumstance around the Kentucky Derby as much as the rest of us do?
I do. I mean, look at me, Donnie. I look like a marshmallow. I've got the whole bag of fruit on. We've got the pink jacket thing, the Kentucky Oak. But I think it's great. I think it's fantastic for the sport. Everyone getting into it. You'll make your mint juleps there tomorrow afternoon. And I guess on the wagering side of things, one thing that I would encourage, you know, for bettors who may be thinking, well, I haven't really played the horses before, you can now play them at the FanDuel Sportsbook or through the FanDuel Racing app, is today and tomorrow are going to see some massive prize pools. And I guess it's a little different than playing the football, the NBA, where you're going against the house. When you play the horses, it's pari-mutuel wagering. We're all going against each other. So if you can find a couple of strong opinions throughout today's card and tomorrow card, and you can hit on a couple of those, I mean, the return's going to be massive. I hit the Superfecta last year for the Oaks coming up this afternoon. $100 investment, $16,000 coming back, just because we went against a couple of favorites. And obviously, got a bit of luck in that big one.
Look at that guy. That's how he bought that snazzy new pink jacket, looking good for the 2024 Kentucky Derby. Even after his days at Sports Grid, Dubsy got the memo. We wear jackets now on this network, a true pro's pro. So, Dubs, let's look at the 2024 Kentucky Derby field and now actually talk about the horses. You mentioned the favorites. Fierceness drew post position 17, but now slides one over. Sierra Leone, second best odds in post position two. How do you compare the favorites as they run the Kentucky Derby tomorrow?
I think Fierceness has every right to go off as the post-time favorite, and it's a bit of a redemption story from last year. It was Rapoli who had Forte's, the odds-on favorite, but was a game-day scratch. Well, here he is again with Fierceness, trained by Todd Pletcher and Johnny Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, getting aboard for the ride. In terms of post position, I don't mind that. In terms of game plan, Fierceness will push forward, and from what we've seen going through the qualifying races, Fierceness is the superstar of the crop here. Three wins from five starts with a ferocious performance last out in the Florida Derby. If we get that Fierceness again, it's going to be very tough to beat. But you look at the form cycle, just a little erratic. So I'm not sure if we can expect a bounce or more of the same from that last effort.
If we're taking a look at the racing, the general public loves a good long shot. You have a couple dollars down to win a couple hundred. Are there any long shot stubs that you're looking at that might be able to crash the party here tomorrow?
I'm looking right next door. Batman and Robin. Fierceness will start alongside Stronghold. Stronghold coming across from the West Coast, trained by Phil D'Amato, and gets young pilot Antonio Frazu. What I like about Stronghold, the versatility. Six starts at six different courses with three wins. In terms of the speed figures, should appreciate the further trip, the more distance. And I think Fierceness, setting the table early, gets a nice little pace scenario. And where do we break the maiden? Right here at Churchill Downs. So for me, Stronghold, the 18 at a monster price for the big derby.
Dubsy looking at the long shots. Dubsy getting you set for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. It's the first Saturday in May, the most exciting 2 minutes in all of sports. Dubs, have a great Friday leading up to Derby Day, and enjoy the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, boys. Great to see you. Now I can't decide. Does the blue tie stay, or should it be a pink tie to match?
No.
The jacket.
Oh, wow.
Blue looks beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Blue looks beautiful.
Pink
it's a great
pink.
Compliment.
Ooh, I can't
you
decide,
with
boys.
The attire. You
I'm
look
spinning.
Fantastic.
I'm spinning.
Good to see you, boys. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Round number two of the NBA postseason starts this weekend. Two second-round series are now set. We await the winner of two other first-round series with a closeout potential in each of those tonight to determine the two other matchups. Two out west, two out east. So we reset the playoff bracket at this moment. The two top seeds in either conference are on. The Boston Celtics into the Eastern Conference second round. They await the winner of tonight's game in Orlando, the Magic and the Cavaliers. Orlando a home favorite. If the Magic win, we head back to game number 7 in the land later this weekend. Game 6 out in the Western Conference tonight. Back in Dallas, the Mavericks, an 8-point home favorite, expected to win this series and clinch over the Clippers tonight. If the Mavericks win, the winner of that series, regardless, will take on the top seed in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder. The two series that we know, DRS, are the 2-3 matchup out west, Denver versus Minnesota, 2-6 out east. The Knicks will play host to the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And also, big night tonight. If I'm not betting individually, these two series, I have the upper hand. I had the Dallas Mavericks to win their series, but not in a certain amount of games, just win it here, money line. And then also, I do have another money line parlay that's tied into it here with the other games that should be able to finish tonight. So if I'm rooting as a fan base tonight, Cleveland Cavaliers, come on now. Dallas Mavericks, come on, because I already have two in the door. It was a simple wager, but sometimes when you tell the people, Ben, like, hey, here's what I like. It's only $25, but it pays back $175. So it could be a nice little night here for a nice payday that I've been waiting for a couple weeks on. But I like where the NBA is going. My team, the Sixers, is out. But you're looking at compelling series outside of, like, Celtics, Cavs, Magic. Again, we'll watch and we'll bet the Celtics because they should win it easily. But outside of that series, you got intrigue. Pacers, Knicks. You got crazy intrigue with the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. And the Thunder waiting there to see who they're going to get. Let's just say it's the Mavericks. That's an awesome series right there. So we're in good hands in the NBA right now in three of the four series coming up.
So let's go to the conference odds. Five teams still remaining as of this moment, of course, in each side of the NBA playoff bracket. We have three that have already advanced to the second round out east. It's Boston, New York, and Indiana. In the Western Conference, the top three seeds, OKC, Denver, and Minnesota in that order. Donnie, I want to start in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics have been an odds-on favorite for the final month and a half of the NBA regular season, and we've seen that now here into the postseason. As you said, Boston awaits the winner of Cleveland and Orlando. You can see the Magic at this current moment, down 3-2 in the series, despite being a home favorite tonight to even it up in game number 6, a very long price at 65-1. Cleveland has the fourth best number at 12-1. Regardless of who wins this series, whether it's the Cavs tonight, the Cavs in 7, Orlando in 7, I don't think the number gets much shorter than 12-1 because you are playing Boston. The Celtics have home floor advantage. More than likely, the Celtics will be at least a minus 500 favorite on that series outright price. It might sound outlandish, but I expect that to be the number. We showed you earlier, the New York Knicks, a minus 300 series outright favorite to knock off Indiana, advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in nearly 2.5 decades since the year 2000. And you see the Knicks have the closest number to Boston, the Pacers at 11-1. I don't think the Knicks just cakewalk into the conference finals, even if they knock off Indiana. The price on the Pacers seems a little bit unjust at this moment.
It is, but if we're looking at, again, with the Celtics are a minus 220 price. Now, granted, am I actually going to be betting that? No, but let's just say you're trying to analyze, you know, the minus 220. We'll talk about the Western Conference in a second, where the Nuggets are a slight, you know, dog at plus 110, let's just say. I think the Celtics minus 220, though, honestly, is a very good price. Like, if you had $220 to tie up to win $100 over the next couple weeks, I don't see anybody beating them. And that's not a knock here on the New York Knicks, who I think we're a very competent franchise and a very good team. But if we're looking at getting the breaks here, right, the Celtics, round number one, if Jimmy Butler and Rozier are there and it's full gas, that might be a fun and competitive series. It wasn't. So, advantage for the Celtics. You don't have to have all that wear and tear with six or game seven series. Like, okay, who do we have next? Porzingis then gets injured. Who's a key component here for the Celtics moving forward? But quite frankly, is anybody going like, oh man, Porzingis is out, Ben? There's no way the Cavs and the Magic, you know, are you know, they should be able to easily get
right.
No, we're looking at an easy victory for the Celtics, which gives you that extra time if you need it for Porzingis to get back before, let's just say, you do take on the Knicks. So as much as you look at that minus 220 price and say to yourself, that's ridiculous, I wouldn't pay it. To be honest, I think it's a great price on the Celtics. I do.
For sure it is, right? Everything is relative value, even if it is minus money, depending on how you paint the path. Boston is going to be a favorite in every single series they play as long as they stay in the NBA playoffs. They're going to have home floor advantage. They were the NBA's best team all year long. Are they going to be minus 500 prices like we would expect against either Cleveland or Orlando? No, but even in an NBA Finals against Denver, which is the expected outcome, Boston is going to be a slight favorite on that series outright price, injuries withstanding. Now we go to the Western Conference. The Nuggets are the favorites at plus 110. They've been minus money at certain points throughout this playoff run, but really have hovered around even money all postseason long. But here's the big difference in the Western Conference as compared to the East. Boston is the favorite. They have home floor advantage the entire way. Denver is the favorite, but the Nuggets are the two seed. Oklahoma City would have home floor advantage in a Western Conference Finals matchup against the Nuggets.
Yes, and you look at the Eastern Conference, the way it's built there, that heavy favorite in the Celtics and a couple teams you think might be able to compete. Let's just say the Clippers get bounced tonight, the Mavericks advance. You probably look at that Mavericks price at least moving up to a plus 450. So then you have four teams left, plus 110, 3-1, plus 380, and let's just say plus 450. You can make an argument for every one of those teams that you cannot make for the Eastern Conference at this point. And you're right about that. The Nuggets are the favorites here. They don't have home court advantage because even though the Thunder easily dispatched of the Pels in round number one, those questions, oh, it was the Pelicans. Yeah, they were injured. What were they supposed to do? Not win that series? They easily put them away. I can't wait to see how this plays out, but you could get an argument for all four teams and why they make sense if we just leave the Clippers out of the equation.
Spot on, DRS. And I would like one final point about the Western Conference in comparison to the East on the other side of the break. And then we'll talk a strange NFL story. Justin Fields, the kick returner in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
maybe next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line, DRS, what was the good news that Philly fans, despite having their season come to a close, just came down the wire?
Well, the good news is we don't have to wait till 9 o'clock for any of our games to tip off and continue to miss those. But outside of that in the Philly market, you know, Brian Windhorst saying that Paul George might be in the future plans for the Philadelphia 76ers. We got a lot of money to pay here in Philadelphia. We just need a superstar that, in big moments, doesn't come away with 0 points. That's all. That's not hard. If that's on the job application, hey, we'll pay a lot of money. Just don't come up with 0 points in the playoffs. Sign here. Let's go.
Does Donnie Wrightside record a point in 29 minutes of an Eastern Conference playoff elimination game?
I'm running right into Mitchell Robinson repeatedly to get to the free throw line. So there you go. Yes, I will. Yep.
All right.
Taking
one point.
The big man.
That's all you need. 1 point because last night Donnie and I scored the same amount of points combined as Tobias Harris did in game number 6 for Philadelphia. But Paul George is still in a playoff series as of this moment. Game 6 tonight in Dallas against the Mavericks, but no Kawhi Leonard. The Mavs an 8.5 point favorite now. Donnie, you said before the break that if and when Dallas wins this series, maybe as quickly as tonight in game number 6, they would see that 5-1 price at this moment grow shorter. I, in fact, could make an argument it might grow shorter even than that of Minnesota. I think Dallas is going to be pretty close to Oklahoma City just in the expectation. Thunder, the series outright favorite. Thunder having home floor advantage, but Dallas being really right there with Oklahoma City. And I thought your point about the Western Conference, you could make an argument for any of the four teams we expect to be in the second round winning the conference championship was really sound. It's almost like Boston, as we continue to use UConn as the comparison, is the Huskies on that side of the bracket. It was difficult to make an argument for any other team outside of Connecticut for why said team would beat UConn. Could it happen? Potentially. It, of course, did not. Could it happen in the Eastern Conference playoff bracket? Sure, especially with the injury uncertainty around Kristaps Porzingis. But I don't think there's a super strong argument at the moment why the Knicks, the Pacers, either the Magic or the Cavs could knock off Boston, and thus that -220 price is incredibly justified.
By the way, also, if you're using a UConn analysis, the interesting part about that was is we always thought UConn was the best team all the way through. But the reason why I was saying I'm not going to take UConn is, number one, the price. But number two, they have one of the hardest paths to get even to a Final Four. It's the exact opposite for the Celtics. They're the best team with the easiest path here. And the hardest team they're going to play is going to be the Knicks. But that won't even come to the Eastern Conference Finals. So a lot of things lining up on the right side here for the Boston Celtics, no doubt.
So now we go to the National Football League. A stark change, but a surprising story. Jaylen Warren shared yesterday that the Steelers have been discussing using Justin Fields on special teams as a kick returner with the new NFL kickoff rules. We'll see if it actually happens. But of course, Justin Fields, no longer in Chicago, now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers and in the quarterback room behind Russell Wilson. Is there any chance, Donnie, any chance at all, you think Justin Fields even returns a single kick this year in the Steel City?
And here's how it had to have gone down. Somebody was in a meeting somewhere and was like, and Justin Fields probably like, man, I would love to return kicks. I think I'd be a dominant kick returner. And they laugh it off and say, yeah, you're a quarterback and you go back to your business. But it takes one guy in the room that doesn't actually understand what sarcasm is and releases that to somebody who lets that get public. There's no way, shape, or form that your quarterback, at least your backup guy, who we thought might have a chance to actually start for the Steelers this year, is going to be relegated to kick return duties to get him blown up left and right here. Quarterbacks are not supposed to take hits here. Quarterbacks are not supposed to run 40 yards into another kick return. And also, if you can say, yeah, he's going to be back there kick returns. He's never going to return them because every single kick goes out of the back of the end zone. Newsflash, player rule changes now. Every kick is basically going to be returned, and Justin Fields will not be returning kicks for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You don't invest in a quarterback, even in any sort of trade for Justin Fields, to have them back there as a kick returner. The Pittsburgh Steelers this year, win total is 7.5. No surprise, the Steelers still, in 17 years under Mike Tomlin, have not had a losing record. They have never won less than 8 games. Pittsburgh might not be a team that we expect to contend for an AFC championship, but after making the playoffs a year ago, now with an upgrade at the quarterback room with Russell Wilson, the Steelers will flirt with the postseason and an above 500 record once again. Hour three, our third and final, starts after the break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.